Hi, I'm John Hilliard, assistant editor for SearchDisasterRecovery.com. I'm here today speaking with Stephen Ross, executive principal and founder of Risk Masters Incorporated. We're talking a little bit today about how to prepare a data center in case of a disaster incident. How's it going today, Stephen?
It's going well, thanks.
Great. Well, let's just jump into this. To start with, what can you do to ensure an organized recovery of computer systems and other essential equipment? Should there be careful documentation of everything in the data center? Who is responsible for each piece of equipment? That sort of thing.
Well, let me start by pushing back on the question.
Sure.
It's sort of like saying you've got a car that you depend on to drive to work every day. The head gasket is blown. The brakes are worn down. There's a hole in the muffler, but you've got a spare tire. The issue isn't what do you do to recover it. The issue is what do you do to build it in such a way that these kinds of problems don't become problems. Yeah, you can still have a rock dropped on the car or have a crash. You can't eliminate that, and you still get flat tires. But that's not the issue.
Mm-hmm.
So the underlying answer to your question is the first thing you ought to do is build resilient data centers and build resilient data centers on an enterprise level. This is more applicable, I understand, to larger corporations or government agencies. But anybody who says, well, I've got a data center and I'm dependent on it, but I don't have any backup for that data center, well, they're dead right from the beginning. Too many organizations 15 years ago signed a contract with a hot site vendor, and they've got a backup location, and they think, well, I'm covered. But that's not the point. The point is to understand how this equipment flows into the business and the requirements for everything up to complete fault tolerance across environments down to, okay, I can live without it for a couple of days and we'll recover from tape and not worry too much. With that said, your first question is, if you want to have an organized recovery, then you have to think of the data center as a business process with lots of interdependent moving parts. And because there are lots of interlinked parts, and the people involved are doing everything by sort of remote control, it's not like anybody's actually physically touching buttons today. They're running job schedulers, and they're watching to see that things are running properly. And, of course, there's far fewer people in a data center than there used to be. So that all of the things that need to be done, if a problem occurs, must be proceduralized in written documentation. It is shocking to me in the clients that we see, how often we see data center managers who are basically just landlords, and they have no idea what's in their data center. Well, somebody comes, puts in a piece of equipment, they sign a release, and okay, thanks. Somebody else is running it somewhere. This is very dangerous when everything goes wrong, and then all those other people start pointing to the data center management, saying, "Well, you should be able to recover this. Well, you never told me what it was, what it does, how it's connected." All of that needs to be done. All of that needs to be known. And it starts with the infrastructure. It starts with understanding the network, understanding the servers, particularly these days, what's running physical, what's running virtual. One of the things that we are seeing, I would have to say universally, well, it's probably not universal, but it's what we've seen universally, is that there's been a huge push to go from physical to virtual. And you're seeing compression ratios of, I've seen as high as 100 to 1. You're seeing 70% of a data center running on virtualized equipment. And you say, well, actually, which virtual servers are on that physical box? And I say, well, gee, I don't know. The software guys came along and they virtualized that thing and they left me with VMware and a bunch of platforms, and it looks the same to me as running them. So So they don't even know what they've got.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. What kind of steps, though, do people need to take to prepare the data center, though, in case there is a disaster? You know, what kind of things should be in the data center so when the disaster does strike, they know what to do so they're not just, you know, running around in circles?
Well, as I say, you definitely need a comprehensive set of procedures for your infrastructure and then for the applications. Each component or group of components generally has supportive infrastructure, and generally speaking, there's a person or group who are responsible for that, so that the servers are going to be under either a server group or a virtualization group or both. The SAN is going to be under data storage. The NAS is going to be under data storage. There's going to be a network group. There's going to be probably a group that's responsible. It may be part of the network. It may be part of the storage. It may be standalone that is responsible for the fabric. All of these are generally working either for an infrastructure group or an operations group, but come a major disruption, there's a dotted line relationship with the disaster recovery management. And that kind of governance needs to be clearly spelled out. Who's in charge, who makes the decisions, and what you do and what sequence you do it in. I've just been writing a set of procedures. I mean, literally this morning, writing a set of procedures for a client saying exactly what goes before what. And somebody pointed out to me that before you can bring up the scheduler, you've got to make sure that you are hooked up to the internet, that you have internet connectivity, because otherwise the scheduler is going to try to run remote jobs and it's going to fall over. It's that kind of thinking that needs to be done in advance, because I guarantee you, in the crisis of the battle, you're not going to see it until you say, oops, and have to do it over again. And all of that takes time.
All this kind of preparation, this kind of documentation, should that be in the DR plan itself, or, you know, do you have to create separately? You know, where does that fit in?
I'm not sure that there's a distinction between the DR plan and separate documentation. Clearly, every function needs to understand their role, responsibility, and the timing and procedures they're going to carry out. Taken collectively, those are the DR plan. It's like you go to see a play. Every actor has a script, and he knows what he's supposed to say. You better know what the others are saying, and then better say it at the right time. Does that help?
It does. It does. What can you do to ensure that your system doesn't fail? You mentioned earlier that, you know, the way to do it is make a robust data center, understand what's in the data center, just don't be an absentee landlord. You know, what do you do to ensure that it wouldn't fail during the recovery process?
Well, we are seeing a tremendous interest these days in what I call infrastructure assurance, making certain that within an operating data center, all of the resources are protected and redundant. To a degree that is really kind of surprising and shocking to the management that we're dealing with, most data centers we're seeing are replete with single points of failure.
What's the best way to test the UPS system?
Well, I mean, the easiest answer to that question is run it off the UPS. Do a load test. Mm-hmm. There needs to be a real-time test. You know, there are a whole bunch of NFPA standards, if I'm correct in my numbering, and I can double-check it if you want. It's NFPA 110 that specifies power requirements for data centers and for critical electrical areas. I mean, data centers fall under that. So you'd want to real-time test it. Now, there is a certain degree of risk to that, of course, but on the other hand, there's a certain degree of risk of not knowing whether whether UPS can bear the load. Double that down on the generators. A lot of this is going to be driven by what your vendors tell you. So involvement of the vendors in the testing is very worthwhile. You can also get involvement from the power companies, but the UPS, as such, as an isolated piece of equipment, is important. I'm not trying to downplay it, but I think you want to be thinking about it end to end. So it's not just UPS, for example. It's UPS and generators and conduits and PDUs, and do what you need to do to make sure that you can get the power from either the substation or the generator to the gear. A lot of this can be done and should be done as a matter of preventive maintenance. Anyway, you should be doing load tests on an annual and actually I think it's semi-annual basis. You should be doing preventive monitoring. You should be doing infrared testing to see if there's any frayed wires or anything else that has happened, just wear and tear. So all of that comes together.
Okay. Stephen Ross, Executive Principal and Founder of Risk Masters Incorporated. Thank you very much.
Okay. It's a pleasure. It's what I talk about all the time, so I'm glad to talk to you.
Very good. And again, for the latest on DR tips and news, check out our website at searchdisasterrecovery.com. I'm John Hilliard, and thank you for listening.